Please pray with me. God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you. Amen. Recently, we went to a birthday party for our friend's daughter, Maggie, who was turning 2 years old. Maggie and my son Holden are about 15 months apart in age, and whenever we visit with them, we the parents often end up marveling, comparing the two kids' development. Not in a competitive way, but just marveling at how much the kids have grown and changed since we've seen each other last. Maggie's parents often watch Holden, how he moves and talks and plays, and at this stage in life, the challenges that we have with him as a three-year-old. And they say to each other, that's our future. And Bob and I look at Maggie and try to remember just what Holden was saying and doing at her age, which somehow seems like a long time ago. I suppose if we compare it with other mammals in the animal kingdom, the time it takes for humans to grow into adulthood is a long time. But in the context of our lives, it seems impossible how quickly we go from being just tiny little babies, immobile, totally dependent, and not even able to see fully the world around us, to within a year or two, standing, walking, climbing, talking, and taking in all the details in the world around us with curiosity and delight. I don't remember how old Holden was, but I remember the first time I realized that he could walk down the steps of our front porch without me just fine. He didn't need me to hold tightly onto his hand and keep him upright when he stumbled. He just all of a sudden knew how to do it himself. It's a simple thing, but it was one of so many entirely new things that he was learning and then mastering in such a short time. It seemed incredible. I don't know when that rate of learning slows down in our lives. Maybe it doesn't, or it doesn't have to. But it does seem like we get so excited about babies learning to do these small things. But as we grow older, we don't expect or admire growth in ourselves or others as much. Which is one of the reasons why our reading from 1 Peter caught my attention. The author of 1 Peter is writing to a new community of believers, and he urges those new believers, who would have been mostly adults listening to the reading of this letter, he urges them to think of themselves as newborns who should expect and yearn to grow in their faith in the incredible ways that babies grow in their first months of life. He urges them to seek out the kind of food that they will need for that kind of growth. He's talking to new believers in a young faith community. But I wonder if it might be helpful for all of us, for even those of us for whom faith is an old familiar habit, to think of ourselves as newborn and newborns, and to look for that kind of growth. The author writes about growing into salvation, reminding us that we are redeemed wholly by the gift of God's grace. But that doesn't mean that our faith is finished and fully formed in the first moment that we recognize that gift. The gift of God's grace is a seed that can grow as an acorn grows into an oak. And 1 Peter urges us not to settle in where we're comfortable, but to seek to grow and learn. This likely means something different for each of us, both the ways that we need to grow and the food we need to do so. In the verse just before today's reading in 1 Peter, the first verse in the chapter, the writer urges, "Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander." Now, lots of us probably could take that list and have some work to do, but each of us also probably have the things we particularly struggle with. Maybe some of us struggle with being as patient as we would like. And others might wish for more strength or the ability to speak hard truths, to confront, to be more honest in conflict. And someone else maybe speaks too harshly or quickly. Maybe you wrestle with fear or anxiety. Someone else struggles with a sense of helplessness in the face of suffering or injustice. Maybe there's someone you can't forgive or something you can't forgive yourself for. In 12-step programs, the fourth step is to make a fearless and searching moral inventory of oneself. As a vital part of the process of recovery from addiction, each person who is going through those 12 steps must do this on his or her own. Not that they do it alone. An important part of AA and other 12-step programs is the community of people that walk with you, people who have been where you are. But each person has to be willing to be honest about their own stuff, their own particular sins and failings and weakness. It seems like there's something about hitting rock bottom in life that can make a person more willing to be honest, when it seems like life or death, I guess. I think people who have experienced addiction and recovery have seen this, and maybe some people who end up in prison see it too, that need to be honest, finally, with oneself. But I wonder if something like this searching and fearless moral inventory might be something we could all do, if it might help us to seek the spiritual food that we need, as 1 Peter urges, might help us discover just exactly where we need to grow, and help us to hope and expect the kind of growth that the author of 1 Peter talks about, that growing in salvation, growing into salvation. But 1 Peter is not only talking about the growth of individuals. It's a letter addressed to a community. All of the yous in the letter in this section, they're not you, sir, or you, ma'am. They're more all y'all. So he writes, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And when he says yourselves, he's talking to the whole community together, calling the community of believers to let themselves be built up together into a spiritual house, a community of belonging, hope, and purpose. Now, the idea of living stones might seem strange to us. We know that stones are not living, breathing things, and people in ancient times likely knew that too. They knew the difference between an animal and a rock. But sometimes they called living stones those great big car-sized and even bigger stones that were used to construct some of the structures in the time. The size and weight of those great stones set in the earth made those buildings seem like they were not built by human hands, but rooted in and growing right out of God's creation. And so they called them living stones. 1 Peter, in urging the community to be built into living stones, is calling them to grow into a household that's built on the spiritual cornerstone of Christ, and rooted right in the present world that surrounded them. It's possible, given when scholars think this letter was written, it's possible that both the writer and the community of people receiving the letter held in recent memory a picture of the temple in Jerusalem destroyed, the great living stones that had anchored it to the earth, broken and scattered. And with that picture in mind, the holy place of God's dwelling destroyed, and the grief and displacement and sorrow that brought, 1 Peter calls these new believers to build something else, to build themselves into a community of hope and belonging, to build themselves into a dwelling place for God, to be not just persons gathered in the same place, but a people whose life together as a community proclaimed the mighty acts of God. He calls them to be a community where other people could meet God's presence to receive mercy and taste and see that the Lord is good. The question of how we are called to grow is one for each of us particularly to consider, and for all of us together as the community gathered here as Faith Lutheran Church to consider. In the face of grief and displacement in our time, in the face of confusion and fear in our time, how are we growing together to be a community of hope and belonging, witnessing to God's presence? How are we called to be living stones, rooted firmly in the world around us, our country and our culture and time, but built on Christ and seeking the kingdom of God's love and justice? May God give us courage to ask these questions, to face our own failings honestly, and to grow into salvation, to seek the spiritual food we need, and to let ourselves be built into living stones, a spiritual house where all might taste and see that the Lord is good and know God's mercy. Let it be so with us. Amen.